Canadian-based mining company called Greenlight Metals received an exploratory license to drill for copper and gold in north-central Wisconsin. A license alone, issued in February of this year, doesn't ensure Greenlight Metals will actually do any mining.
Tentatively, Greenlight Metals plans to drill for copper and gold in Taylor and Marathon counties, including in the Shawamigan Nicolet National Forest. The drilling would occur in the Bend and Reef deposits, where it's said more than 4 million tons of copper and gold are located.
Today we'll get two perspectives on the economic and environmental impacts of potential mining operations.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What do you think a mining project would bring to Wisconsin? Do you think it'd be good for Wisconsin jobs and employment? Do you have environmental concerns? What questions do you have for our guests? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org.
Scott Manley is Executive Vice President of Government Relations for Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. Scott, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you and good afternoon.
Well, this is in the early stages here. Everything we're talking about is tentative. What are your hopes, Scott, though, for potentially mining in these areas when it comes to the economy and jobs creation?
Well, I think that it would be a tremendous boost to the area for sure if we ended up mining copper and gold and even some silver at the Bend deposit in Taylor County and primarily gold at the Reef deposit in Marathon County. Obviously a huge boost to local jobs. These are typically very, very well-paying jobs, much higher wages than the state average. And oftentimes these are union jobs as well. So I think from an economic development standpoint, it would be a real boost for those immediate areas. And then when you start looking at some of the other things that are typically associated with mining operations, like transportation jobs and warehousing jobs and hospitality jobs and so forth, I think you would see positive and rippling economic impacts throughout the entire northern part of the state.
In the longer view, Wisconsin had for a long time not quite a ban on this kind of mining, sulfide mining, but close enough to a ban to make it very difficult to open these kind of bans. Can you talk about how the regulatory framework has changed in the state that makes something like this possible?
Well, just as you said, it was called the virtual mining moratorium because it wasn't an outright ban. That's been removed. And, you know, basically, if you want to get a mining permit in Wisconsin, it's a very long and rigorous process that you have to go through that will require somebody to demonstrate that they can do mining in an environmentally safe and responsible manner. And that includes posting financial assurance up front before you even dig the first ounce of ore out of the ground, so that if something happened to the mining company and they had to shut down operations, there would be financial resources available to completely restore and reclaim the land where the mining took place. So I think it's important for listeners to understand that this is the very, very, very early stages of what is a very long and rigorous environmental review process that would take years to complete before any mining would be approved.
Talking to Scott Manley from Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce about, as we heard, the potential early stages of mining for copper and gold at two sites in north central Wisconsin. Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Rob is with us in Wausau. Hi, Rob.
Hello. Yeah, you know, we're talking about developing gold mines in Wisconsin, and we're probably going to get this pitch that somehow gold is needed for, what, electric vehicles and wind turbines? There isn't anything like that. And no foundry in Wisconsin will use the copper from these mines because they use clean scrap. And I'm wondering why some group like WMC is supporting the short-term profit schemes of a foreign mining company instead of the small businesses and property owners. I mean, how many businesses are worth sacrificing from the outdoor recreation and tourism industry for the sake of letting a mining company dig up our wealth and leave us in economic ruin with contaminated water?
Rob, thanks for the call. Scott, what do you say?
Well, I think the gentleman is really taking probably a 1920s or 1930s view of mining. and where there was virtually no regulation in place. Look, today we've got modern environmental laws. We've got modern technology for mining techniques. This is not your father's or even your grandfather's or even your great grandfather's mining that's done today. And what you can't do in Wisconsin if you're mining is violate any of our air quality, water quality, groundwater standards. You certainly can't violate at the federal level the Clean Water Act or any of the federal environmental standards too. And I think the gentleman fails to understand that, look, copper is a critical mineral for solar panels, for electric vehicle batteries, for wind turbines, for home wiring, for power transmission. You know, gold, everybody who's got a cell phone is walking around with gold in their pocket. The computers that we have today have gold in them. Every car has gold in them. Small appliances have gold in them. Satellites, all kinds of electric devices. So, this is a really critical element, a very critical mineral for our economy. And we could just say, hey, let's keep exporting these critical minerals from other countries that don't do environmental regulation as well as we do, and have better or have worse environmental outcomes, for the planet, because we are, relying on third world country mining. We happen to think that's a bad idea.
Thanks for the call, Rob. We'll go to Mark next in Superior. Mark, hi.
Hi, how are you? I kind of agree with what he just said a little bit, because I know that we are promoting electric vehicles so dramatically as the solution to a lot of the problems that we're cutting for the environment. But the very source of those materials comes from the area that we're not willing to have drilling and mining in. And so I think we better either rethink the electrical vehicles or rethink our stance on mining, because as much as we think that we can do both without having the mining, we can't. And we need to have either fall back on the batteries, the electric car, and do something with carbon energy, or we're going to have to agree that we're going to have to get this from the areas that we prize, the northern Wisconsin, northern Minnesota, and northern Michigan. We should not continue to allow countries like Russia and China to supply these materials, because they are not environmentally sensitive and they are ruining the environment in their world. And that's part of our world also. So I think we better be a little conscious of the fact that if we want electric vehicles, we're going to have mining.
Mark, thanks for the call. Scott?
I think Mark stated it very well. And I would just say it doesn't have to be an either or. Either we have economic development and mineral security and the ability to determine our own fate because we're sourcing minerals here instead of relying on dangerous countries, versus do we want to have a clean environment? It absolutely can be both. And in fact, the laws that apply both in this state and at the federal level of government, the mining laws, require as much. There's nobody who's going to get a permit to mine anywhere in Wisconsin that will require us to sacrifice the environment and our public health in exchange for mining. That is just simply not the way modern environmental law and modern environmental practice works.
Thanks for that call. Scott, just in our last few moments, can you talk about the road ahead for a proposal like this?
Well, the mining process, the permitting process, as I said, is very rigorous, and there's a lot of data collection that needs to take place, including mapping out wetlands and streams and doing soil characterization and in fact drilling to find out what type of material you're dealing with in the ground deep below the surface. So there's a lot of, I would say, data gathering is probably the biggest first step. And then it's analysis of that data that can be used to actually put a permit application together.
Scott, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
That's Scott Manley, Executive Vice President of Government Relations for Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, talking with us today about the economic impact of mining with a couple of proposed sites in north central Wisconsin.
Up next, we'll look at the potential environmental impact of this kind of mining.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234 with your hopes for the future of these plans. Your fears, call in at 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org.
We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Dean Knetter.
And I'm Rob Verrett. We continue our look at an exploratory mining permit at two sites in north central Wisconsin, looking mainly for copper and gold. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts, your questions about the potential for mining. That's 800-642-1234. Dave Bluen joins us now, Mining Committee Chair for the Sierra Club Wisconsin chapter. Dave, welcome back to Central Time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, again, early stages here, exploratory drilling. What are some of your concerns when it comes to this kind of mining in these kind of places?
Sure. You know, exploration itself isn't, you know, it certainly isn't full-scale mining, but there are issues with exploration. Should it go forward, you know, with any proposal in Wisconsin? There are some basic impacts, and you know, drilling holes for exploration intersects groundwater that can introduce contaminants into groundwater and connect otherwise disconnected aquifers that can cause cross contamination. I want to bring up, especially because this has been an important and hot topic for Wisconsinites concerned about their drinking water, but exploration for mining uses drilling fluids that include, you know, highly toxic PFAS chemical compounds. So, you know, these are the sorts of things that we don't necessarily want to see introduced into our groundwater and our drinking water. So, you know, as well, there are other impacts to consider: new roads into drill sites and contaminants from the materials that are taken out of the ground that have to be taken care of properly. More importantly, the state DNR really doesn't have a lot of oversight over drilling, and the public has virtually no say over approvals for exploration. DNR does have to have control over reclamation, and that authority is about the limit of their authority. And one of our problems that we've seen with historical exploration is that boreholes are often left unfilled for many years before companies are required to fill them.
For the mining projects themselves, our last guest, Scott Manley from Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, made the case that mining today isn't what mining used to be. It's safer. We know more about reclamation. There's more safeguards and protections in place. What do you say to that?
Sure. I think in general, that's true. But what makes modern mining different from legacy mining is its scale. It's our ability to move much more material, much lower quality material and process ore that has much smaller percentages of metals in it. And you know, the main increases improvements in technology in recent years have much less to do with environmental protections and much more to do with improving the technology of the mining itself, meaning that we have reduced labor costs in mining projects by introducing robotics and unmanned vehicles and the like. That are simply about improving the bottom line for mining companies and far less about improving environmental quality or environmental protections.
There's also the argument that, you know, we're going to make stuff out of copper. The copper is going to come from somewhere. Even if there is some environmental risk here, is it better to produce in a place with the levels of environmental protection we have in the U.S. versus places around the world with maybe far less protections?
Sure. And I think that's a legitimate argument if we're talking about strategic or you know, strategic minerals that the country needs for defense or other uses. It's not so with copper. And that's because copper is, well, the U.S. is a net exporter of copper. We produce 1.2 million tons of copper a year. It's more than enough for our domestic use. And so should of these two properties that Greenlight Metals is considering, should the Bend deposit with its copper be developed, there's only enough copper there identified so far to cover 5% of U.S. domestic production for a single year. That's a drop in the bucket. And in fact, to go to one other issue that got brought up a little bit earlier, in terms of copper being a strategic mineral for the use, you know, for electric vehicles, for windmills, for other, other changes that we need to see in infrastructure that help address the climate change crisis, you know, we have more than enough to meet the need in the U.S. Based on U.S. Production alone. And copper is less of a critical mineral for things like for batteries and the like. You know, those are other minerals that aren't being produced, such as, you know, for the properties that Greenlight Metals is considering, things like cobalt and lithium, manganese and nickel, none of which are proposed to be developed by Greenlight Metals.
Talking to Dave Bluen, Mining Committee Chair for the Wisconsin Chapter Sierra Club, looking at mining proposals in north central Wisconsin for copper and gold. Let's go to your calls now at 800-642-1234. Jordan is with us in Marengo. Jordan, hi.
Hi, how's it going? I have kind of a couple personal connections directly to this issue. My father was a major executive for a mining supply company, so he got to travel to, you know, Chile, Mexico, the desert southwest of the U.S., seeing these huge copper installations in arid areas. He was very Republican, very pro-business, very let's go get it done. And before he died, he told me this should not be done in areas with groundwater issues because the damage will be permanent. In a lot of areas with groundwater, there needs to be perpetual wastewater remediation. So, you know, it's good that the guy from WMC talks about laws and stuff, but laws don't stop how rock fractures. Laws don't stop how groundwater moves through fractured rock. So there is no real remediation at all.
Jordan, thanks for the call. Dave, what do you think?
Yeah, Jordan brings up a good point that, you know, especially northern Wisconsin is an incredibly water-rich environment. And mining in metallic sulfides is dangerous because the rock, when it's exposed to air and water, the waste rock especially, and the tailings, when they're exposed to air and water, produce acid mine drainage and the resulting heavy metals that spreads on surface water and groundwater. And what's also important about this is that baked into Wisconsin environmental law is the fact that mining underground and open pit is allowed to pollute groundwater at the site and for many square thousands of acres potentially around a mine site. It's allowed pollution, and it was a nod to the mining companies and negotiated by the mining industry with the state of Wisconsin to acknowledge the fact that you can't mine in metallic sulfides or other rock in our state without having to pollute groundwater. It's a simple fact.
Thanks for that call. Peter joins us next in Rhinelander. Peter, hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. What did you want to bring up, Peter?
I was just curious because I have visited Ladysmith, where the Flambeau mine was located. And when I toured there, they mentioned that there are there's financial backing from the mining company to remediate the pollution that is occurring there. But they also mentioned that it only lasts, the payments only last for about 30 years. And I'd wanted to ask the previous guest if anything had changed or if in reality the burden of all of that goes to the taxpayers after 30 years or if things have changed.
Peter. Thanks for that call. Dave, do you know the time period that remediation money is good for?
Yeah, when Flambeau was first closed, the bonding there for the reclamation work was to be held for 30 years. And it's important to note that the bond for reclamation was specific only to reclaiming the site. In other words, in the very narrow sense of the law for reclamation for mining with Wisconsin, meaning filling up the pit with waste rock, covering it over, regrading it, planting it, and essentially making it look pretty. What the bond doesn't cover is any potential cleanup long term. We no longer have a bonding requirement that would have addressed the need for contingencies like emergency cleanup, that sort of thing. That was repealed along with the Prove It First law for metallic sulfide mining in 2017.
Thanks for that call, Peter. And Dave, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
That's Dave Bluen, Mining Committee Chair for the Sierra Club's Wisconsin chapter. Earlier heard from Scott Manley from Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce looking at the early stages of a couple potential mining sites here in Wisconsin. A company approved to begin exploratory drilling tentatively in north central parts of the state.